all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blueberry Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach TWill24, or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Back in the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, Ryan Ritter, the coach of the Bethune-Cookman Wildcats. Coach, man, glad to see you again and glad to have you back. Man, hope you've been safe, buddy.
Man, it's great to see you. Great to be back. Always enjoy our conversations pre-season.
Yes, indeed. Well, Coach, I got to ask you, man, I kind of told you off the air about how the season stopped on my birthday for the NBA on March 11th. So where were you guys there in that situation? Was it the MEAC tournament probably? So how did you guys handle news when it came down and, of course, getting kids back home and go from virtual learning to from being in class? So how was it for you and your team and your staff, man, that whole whirlwind and march around on my birthday there?
You know, that particular day was really, really tough for our program. We had six seniors, and we had a good regular season, but we really felt like we were playing our best basketball. You know, had won, I think, six out of seven going into the tournament, and those six seniors had finally really come into their own, and we were eating pregame meal 3 hours before our first round game, and we're told that our season was coming to an end. So, obviously, the basketball side was really tough, but, you know, those six guys that have put so much blood, sweat, and tears, that was tough to see their college career in that way because so many questions they have at that time of, well, you know, Coach, what do I have eligibility? Do I go get a job? Am I trying to play professionally? And you know, that can be overwhelming for a, you know, 21, 22-year-old kid. So that particular day was tough on our program. You know, but since then, just really trying to help those guys transition into, you know, whatever their endeavors are professionally, whether it's basketball, job, parenting, And then also try to regroup with the guys we got coming back. You know, obviously no face-to-face meetings. We're trying to stay as organized as we can and try to provide as much patience and flexibility. But at the end of the day, you know, the virus is in charge, and that's what we're trying to help guide our guys right now into to as much safely as we can.
I know a key person on your staff was academic advisor, because having kids going home and to be on their own devices, make sure their grades stay up, stay eligible to play with their grades, and had to be rough. I know you can look at on Blackboard what the guys are doing, but how was that trying to make sure the guys stayed on top of the academics when they were back home and kind of not knowing what's going on in the world around them?
Yeah, I mean, that's the toughest part, because, you know, we've got a great student athlete success team at our school, and we do have a very, very good academic advisor, but all of a sudden you have 15 guys that are now either all learning remotely, and some of them have not taken online classes before, some of them have. And so, you know, just the communication was really key, being able to provide that for each of our guys and having them have their own individual coaches where they're grouped into, you know, groups of three or four, and they're able to kind of connect with coaches on a daily basis, and then we're able to help relay that academic information. So, you know, we had a good spring. I think we've got a really good handle on this fall in terms of our academic situation. But, man, you're right. That position is so huge in college athletics.
And I know the parents are probably even talking to you more than ever now because of all the uncertainty. So how's the parent involvement been in getting closer to the parents again after you recruited the guys and the parents and you kind of reconnecting again is to kind of make sure that their young man is okay? So how's that been dealing with the parents here and all their concerns about the question with the virus and when the guys are coming back on campus and are you going to play? How's that process been?
Yeah, that is a great question. And that's actually you know, this year we've got 15 young men on our roster. We finally in year four been able to recruit some younger kids, some four-year transfers, some guys that, you know, we've been recruiting the last 2-3 years. So we've got a chance to really know their parents, their AU coaches, their high school coaches. So that network around them has been really strong. So the communication with the parents, I've welcomed everything. Any question they have, I don't know the answers, but I will try to find them out for them. And I think just assuring them that we're doing everything safely and in their son's best interest has been key for us. You know, as of right now, you know, we're not even actually working our guys out. We're going through additional safety testing to make sure that we're putting these guys in the best position, one, academically, but then two is before we put them on a court, making sure we're doing everything we can to make sure they're as safe as they can be.
How's it in Florida? I know here in Georgia, it's been still kind of steadily high with the virus. So in your area in Daytona, how's it been? Is numbers coming down? Or do you think it'll be safe for the guys to come back on campus in the near future here where they feel safe and it's not before flu and cold season starts here real soon?
Yeah, you know, it depends on which day of the week you ask. You know, every time I start feeling like we're having a positive shift, you know, we'll have a potential cluster breakout or something happens, not necessarily on our campus. We've been fortunate so far. Our guys have been back for almost 2 weeks, and we've had very, very minimal COVID cases on campus. So we've done a great job protecting our students that way. But yeah, I mean, it really depends on the day you ask. I think we are, as of right now, showing progress, specifically in Volusia County, where is Daytona Beach, where Bethune-Cookman is. But, you know, as soon as I say that, you know, tomorrow can be a different day, and you know, we're doing our best on campus. I know that. I know our leaders, our president, our safety council has done a heck of a job of putting in parameters to make these guys feel and be as safe as they can.
And coach, having talked to your young men about being able to say no when they want to say yes, because you know, their guys are 18, 19, 20 years old. They want to go out. They want to go see their friends and go to a party, but to make them, it's bigger than them right now. You can't do that because one little incident that you might think is innocent that you could cause a whole outbreak of a whole team and then a whole department. So how have you guys stressed this to the young men that, hey, you might want to say yes, but you have to say no, like sacrifice for the greater good of everybody involved in our community as well?
Yeah, that's been the hardest challenge. And I think the message we've tried to tell our guys is be a great teammate. And that's on the court, that's off the court, that's in the community. And ultimately you're going to have these urges to do those things you're talking about. And then throw on top of the fact that we actually aren't allowed to work our guys out right now for safety reasons. So they're in their mind trying to find any way they can to get their hands on a ball. And you know, at the end of the day, it's not safe right now for us. We haven't done everything possible. So to be able to challenge them to be a great teammate, and that means staying compliant and being flexible. And you may feel fine. You may feel like something is beneficial for you. But at the end of the day, when you're part of a team, you know, you got to put that organization ahead of yourself. And I think that's kind of been our message to our guys, not just our basketball team, but our Bethune-Cookman family, our Daytona Beach family, our state family. You know, their people back home is, you're a part of something much, much bigger, and you got to make decisions based on that group rather than yourself.
Most definitely. I've been I've learned the word no a lot, Coach, in the last 5 months because, yep. You know, having an 80-year-old dad, I worry about that because my dad's 80 years old today. So he's not young, and he can attack, yep, older people. And I don't want to be selfish and go out, have a drink or whatever, and come back to my dad, he's dead in a month, you know? And I'm like, wow, that's on me. So just that example of my father keeps me at bay, even though I do get stir crazy, but I got to protect my father and myself as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Same thing we're fighting down here is I share with you off air, I've got a daughter that's 1 month old. And so we quarantined for so long because I didn't want to take a risk. One, you don't know how it plays out in pregnant people. But also the fact is, if somehow I were to contract it, then I'm not able to go into the hospital for the birth of my second daughter. And now you're talking about all kinds of different things that could potentially happen. So we've tried to keep ourselves as safe as we can down here.
Now, Coach, when the guys were at home during the shutdown, did you guys give them like a strength plan to kind of make sure they was could have some kind of semblance of shape now that they're coming back to you here in August? Because I know when you shut down, you might not have a hoop to get to, but doing like walking and running and a little exercise they maybe can do in their yards to kind of keep them somewhat in shape, not quite basketball shape, but some shape, so they're not having to start from scratch once you get back to them here right now. We can't work them out once safety measures are cleared.
Yeah, that's another great question. We've got a great strength and conditioning coach and program at Bethune-Cookman. And so obviously we followed the NCAA guidelines on what we were able to do, but we definitely had our returners and guys that were cleared. We had them a strength and conditioning program that they were able to do at home if they were able to access equipment safely, and they could do that without putting anybody in danger or at risk. But, you know, JR, I'll be honest with you. The thing that we did the most this offseason, we talked. We talked with our guys. We spent a lot of time on Zooms. We talked about social injustices. We talked about things that, you know, we could do to make a difference outside of basketball. And you know, sometimes we become so consumed with the sport that the season comes and wins and losses and this and this. And you really sometimes forget to connect with guys. And so, you know, really the last 3 months, we spent a lot of time understanding each person on our team and how we can help each other, but ultimately how we can help this nation as we go forward.
And Coach, you bring up a great point, social justice issues. You know, I've taken charge using my show once George Floyd happened to discuss these issues because I felt a need. And, you know, my father grew up in the civil rights era. You know, my father grew up in Atlanta when it was segregated. We couldn't cross the railroad tracks by after dark. So talking to my father, I felt I needed to use my platform, which I got from 1.1 million listeners from Chattanooga to Macon. So I have to use this for good. So I felt like, you know, that burden to say, hey, I got to do this for everybody because people like me. You know, my dad was a barber, Coach Ritter. So from day one, I'm around different people all day long. So I don't care who I can do with anybody because I'm used to my father. So I have to use the gift that I got as a young man for good with the radio show. So I feel like it's so important that we use sports to bring us together because sports has been a unifying force in our society and in our country.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right on the money, and you know, I've got a unique perspective. You know, I'm a white guy at a HBCU coaching young black athletes, and you know, for me, it's been so eye opening, and working at HBCU has been educational for me to really understand. You know, you grow up playing basketball, you understand different perspectives, you understand, you know, diversity, but to really sit down and understand. You know, I'm not black. You know, I'm looking at you right now. You can see I will never be black. I don't know what it's like to stand in your shoes, but to be able to empathize and understand, man, what does systemic racism mean? What do these words and what does inequality really look like? You know, what is white privilege? For me to sit down and have these real conversations that I thought I knew so much about, has been great to help hopefully help put us on a platform to help continue to change some of these things.
And Coach, you're in a perfect situation because, no, you are a white guy with HBCU because you can help other whites who don't understand, who won't listen to me, will hear from you because sometimes you hear from who you're from. So I feel like it's great to be in that position to help these young men. And how have those calls been with the players on Zoom, trying to educate them and educating you and educating each other? Because I feel like the more we talk about these uncomfortable things, that's how we really enact and go and get change we want for everybody involved.
Yeah, it depends on the call. Some of them have been extremely emotional, sad almost, frustrated, angry. And then you have some uplifting moments. You see hope, you see potential change. But, you know, as of, you know, events as of recent as yesterday, the last couple of days, it kind of puts in perspective where we are as a country. And it's sad. You know, just to be point blank, I said in a meeting, our first team meeting last week, and one of my favorite guys, I won't use his name, but he's a big, big, big black dude with long hair and tattoos. And he standing up and he said, "Coach, why do people hate me? Because of the way I look." And I mean, you want to talk about melting someone's heart? I just hugged him and I said, "Man, I hope my daughters get to grow up to marry someone like you." And that's the stories we got to get out to the general public of, I think a lot of times white people in particular are scared of what they don't know, and they're scared of the unknown. Well, there's so many times there's not real genuine relationships between black and white people. They don't want to understand or empathize where someone's come from. And I think our university is and our team, we've done a great job of trying to understand and empathize and ultimately make change together. So, but those meetings are raw. They're hard sometimes. I mean, that's just the truth of it.
And Coach, I'll tell you a quick story from personal perspective for me. From, I didn't meet my first white kid to 94. I was 7 years old. So it took travel baseball for me to get introduced to white kids. I never met them. I was 7 years old, Coach. And so I know how sports can help us understand each other. And it could be an example for our country. Because when you play sports, it's not about JR, a black guy, Ryan, a white guy. We're trying to win together. It don't matter, you know. And then we can talk to each other. Then you learn about each other. Because you like them and you learn about them, then you understand, oh, wow, that's why you think that way. That's what molded you. So I feel like sports, Coach, is such an opportunity to give our country an example of what we can be when we are together and see everybody as a person, not white or black. We're just people with a common goal and a common stance and a kind of common mission to get the job done and win a game together and the game of life together as well.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. It's about humanity at this point. I don't think it's a, you know, it's about what's doing right. Everyone's talked politics and this and that. At the end of the day, we got some issues that they're humane, and we got to get those figured out. And I think, you know, from me speaking personally, we've got a great crop of young black men on our team that they can be a strong, powerful voice. And on top of that, you know, I do feel like I'm in a position of, you know, it's not the people who have been oppressed. It's not their job to fix the oppression. It's the people that are it's the oppressors that need to be the ones that got to make some changes. And, you know, I think I know we're up for the challenge. I know we're trying to figure that part out. And I think I've got some great people around me that, you know, can really help put this movement, continue to help with the movement that's going on right now.
And Coach, I know recruiting-wise, do you feel like how you like the Zoom recruiting this season around? Because I know usually you'd be on the road, trying to find great young men to bring in Bethune-Cookman. But how was the recruiting via Zoom and doing campus visits via Zoom during the COVID time here? Has that something you maybe keep in the future, or a little bit of mix of face-to-face and the Zoom mix to kind of expand your reach there?
Yeah, you know what, I'll tell you, actually, from recruiting standpoint, I don't know if it would happen every year, but it worked out great for us this year. We targeted three kids really, really hard. You know, we signed two early in the fall. That was before all this happened. That was great. Two young kids, felt really good about them. But come Christmas time, we really targeted two guys during Christmas. And then when the season ended, we targeted a Division I transfer. And so there was three guys that we were just on every single day. And we built a heck of a relationship with them and the people around them. And, you know, when it came to decision time, and I'll just be transparent with you, we don't have the nicest facilities. We don't have some of the nicest bells and whistles on campus, but we got genuine people that want to make a difference. And so when it came to decision time, when you just make decisions based on relationships, you know, we got those three kids that we had put a lot of time and effort, where sometimes when you're younger, you may choose, you know, a facility or something, a uniform that's maybe not as important long run. So for us, man, that it actually worked out great. We targeted the guys. We got them, got who we wanted, and we're fired up about them.
Oh, definitely. And also, Coach, I'm worried about you guys for this reason, because I've seen some of these guaranteed game contracts. I got a few of them in my email with that whole if you got fans, it's this number. If you don't have it, this number. HBCU schools have to raise money to pay for the non-revenue sports. They just have to. And how is that being, not knowing whether you're going to have a non-conference season, to raise money for the school, because it's so important to fund all the other sports and there's scholarships and those people in the university. So how has that been, trying to navigate that with the legal department and the other schools trying to make the schedule right for you guys?
Well, you know, that has been difficult, because there's just, you know, I think I looked at it the other day, out of the 350-plus Division I teams, only somewhere between 20 and 30 had released their schedule. So, you know, everyone's kind of fighting that issue right now. But, you know, we prepared like we were going to have a normal November, December non-conference. But I think as we're getting kind of closer to this mid-September date, I think there's some feelings that those may change. So, you know, right now we're prepared to play, and we've got our guarantee games lined up. But we've had great dialogue with our administration, with our legal department. If those things don't happen, how could we potentially raise more money? What would be the goal of our institution? But the other thing too, is if we don't have a non-conference season, well, now we're not spending as much money. So there's a lot of things to work out there, but you know, at the end of the day, I said it right when we first started talking, that this virus is going to tell us what to do, whether we like it or not. And then, you know, we'll try to be as flexible and frugal as we can in terms of non-conference.
Well, Coach Ritter, I wish you all the best, buddy. I'm praying for you and your team. You can get out there and play some games, man. I know you guys need the resources for sure to make sure you guys are taken care of and not have to pinch pennies elsewhere, man. I love our chats, man. Good to see you.
Great to see you as well.
So we got this again soon, brother.
That sounds great, man. I appreciate you. I always enjoy being on the show.
Anytime, Coach. Thank you, buddy. Talk to you real soon, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right. It's Ryan Ritter here on the Boss Man Show.
Hip hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech, and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you two discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, illstreetrex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today. True Speech and 313 Fresh, Family Grind ENT. Believe in it. Get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush.
Vicky, who is that?
An old boyfriend.
Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City.
Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow.
Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby, 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.